Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glasser. I'm right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, Game Source, the great folks at LakerHolics.com, the awesome folks at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. If you can go ahead and take care of all of us by following, supporting, and do whatever you can to help us out at every one of these outlets, it is sincerely appreciated. I hope, first off, that everybody had a wonderful and happy and safe Thanksgiving and have gone out today on Black Friday and wreaked havoc upon the retail world, or spent your money galore out there on the internet and had a great time in doing so. But I feel like today's game for the Lakers was like going through and wading through all the ads on blackfriday.com, or maybe checking out the local paper, reading through all the ads and flipping through and saying, oh, I want that deal, want that deal, want that deal. And you actually going at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning on Black Friday, all ready to go to the store, and the store opens and you're doing that mad rush right in the store to get that advertised product you've so been looking forward to. And all of a sudden you walk up and they said, sorry, sir, it's already sold out. And today seemed like just that with the Lakers, because for Lakers fans, it seemed like it was a Black Friday that they'll not soon forget, as they went into today's game against the Sacramento Kings. And a little bit up and down, but in the fourth quarter, had a 13-point lead. Looking good, right? Well, this team this year, one thing it does not like is prosperity. And sure enough, the Lakers, unfortunately, could not hold the lead as it got trimmed down again and again and again through poor rebounding, poor defense, poor execution down the stretch. And the Lakers managed to whittle away a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter to go into overtime. And they had a 7-point lead in the first overtime. Still had a lead in the second overtime. And they still managed to lose that until they finally ran out of gas and could not keep up with the Sacramento Kings and the hard-charging great plays and great shots that were made by Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox. As those two, once they got the rhythm in the overtime, it was just very hard for the Lakers to keep up. But in three overtimes, the Lakers did fall 141 to 137. And a great game by Russell Westbrook, even though even he, late in the game, dropped the ball in the fourth quarter. It just cost the team a tying score, which was kind of disappointing. Poor shooting by LeBron James and Anthony Davis from three, as they went combined 2 for 18 from three-point area, which is just very disappointing. Malik Monk, though, I do want to give him props. 8 of 11, 4 for 7 from 3, 20 points. Carmelo Anthony, 4 from 9 from the three-point area, 16 points. Pretty good, solid bench production there. But unfortunately, the defense, as you can tell by 141 by Sacramento Kings, was just not good at all. And here today to talk about this debacle, this latest debacle on Black Friday, is a good man indeed. I'm hoping he got his deals today on Black Friday. And in fact, you can go for the best deal for all you Lakers fans out there for Black Friday for the grand total price of free to go ahead and chat now at LakerHolics.com. Be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. It is the mastermind behind it all. It is Laker Tom. And Laker Tom, I know we've gone back and forth and argued all season long, but this team, one thing you've got to agree on, it just does not like prosperity.
No, they don't know how to handle that.
They only have one double-digit win all season, and it's by 10.
Well, you know, what's really amazing is I'm watching the game, and I'm thinking, you know, we're 10-10. So, and this is when we were ahead in, by 13, and then I thought this again when we were ahead by 7 in the first overtime, and then we were ahead by 5 in the second overtime. I said, you know, we're going to win this game. We'll be 11-10. And of our 11 wins, 5 of them will be in overtime. I mean, that's an incredible, stunning statistic in and of itself that says that something's missing. And I think what's become evident from the actions of the coaching staff and the Lakers, that they don't have any better idea than you and I do as to what is the problem or how to fix the problem. I mean, Frank Vogel's, if you could pick two players on the Lakers roster to start the game with your three superstars, you wouldn't pick DeAndre Jordan and Avery Bradley. I mean, what did we get from Bradley and Jordan?
Nothing.
4 points? 4 points and 2 points, I think?
Yeah, 4 points. Yeah, that's correct. 4 points and 2 points, respectively.
You know, I mean, it's – and Jordan is like – he must have like fumbled 5 or 6 passes in the first half alone that were just, you know, hit him exactly right where you want the ball. And the ball is just bouncing off and it's a turnover. Turnovers killed us tonight. Turnovers and LeBron's inability to shoot the three and the total lack of lift of being able to get into the lane and attack. It looks to me like that abdominal muscle that he's strained has definitely taken away a lot of his athleticism at this point in time. You know, those types of injuries, hamstrings and muscle strains and groin pulls and those types of things just seem to nag. And you know, it's not like the normal injury, like an ankle where you can wake up 2 or 3 days later and it's gone away, because it just seems to linger and linger and it doesn't go away instantly. It goes away over a long period of time that usually takes more patience than a team that's fighting to win a championship has. This was a disappointing game. You can't cut it any other way. At least hopefully nobody got hurt and you know, we've exhausted ourselves and we've got 2 more easy games before the schedule starts to get tough again. And we'll see what happens.
That's Pardon? The problem I'm asking now. Will they be easy after LeBron played 50 minutes tonight?
Yeah.
Their next game is on Sunday. Will it be easy? That's what we said last Sunday against Detroit. Look what happened there.
Now, it's obvious that this team doesn't carry forward. I guess you could say it's good and bad. They don't carry forward tragedies because they come out and play pretty well after a lousy game. But also after a good game, they can't seem to put it together into a string that amounts to anything like a winning streak.
I think Jamie said it best, because he said that we've never been able to put 4 quarters together.
Yeah, well, you don't have to put 4 quarters together to win a game. Sometimes it's 2 quarters, sometimes it's 3 quarters, sometimes it's 1 quarter, you know, but at least you need to be able to start developing habits that are going to get you easy points as you move forward.
And this isn't a young team. This is a young team that needs to be reminded of. We've got individuals that have won multiple championships on this team.
And not together. And not recently.
LeBron and AD?
Not recently for most of them, you know. Teams are a funny thing in lineups and the chemistry that you have in lineups, the fit that you have in lineups. Fans tend to think that those things are just automatically so easy to accomplish. And they really aren't, because you're taking 5 people at different stages of their career and you're putting them on the court with a ball against the defense that's designed to prevent the star players from playing well. And you still have situations where these guys haven't played very many minutes together. I mean, the number of lineups the Lakers have used is crazy. If you go up to the NBA.com and you look at the lineup and you look at the lineups for the season, and there's so many lineups, it's like 10 pages of lineups. You can't even really start to analyze them until you filter out, you know, guys that didn't play many games and so forth, or lineups that didn't play more than 3 minutes a game and stuff like that. it's still early in the season, and by definition, for a team that had continuity, no, it's not early in the season. For a team like the Lakers that had 11 new players and all of these injuries, it is, you know. Reeves was available. We didn't see him at all tonight. And it seems like Ariza's maybe 2 or 3 weeks away from coming back. So who's going to, what's going to happen between the next 3 weeks? Are we going to see, and I fully expect to see Bradley and Jordan in the lineup. I had my first inklings today of starting to wonder whether or not Frank Vogel owns more responsibility for what's happening with this team than anybody else. Because
I personally say no. Yeah. I think some of the things I could say, yeah, like, well, for instance, well, some of the, you know, dirt late in the game and the overtimes where it became, the offense became stagnant, you could go ahead and say that as far as the coach not instructing LeBron, hey, pass that ball around, set up a pick and roll, do something other than what you're doing than just dribbling a ball out for the 20 to 23 seconds of the shot clock. That to me is disappointing. Try and at least get it around the horn a little right. bit and create some type of flow in the offense. But several times it went back to it. And Stu Lance on the broadcast, even he's quoting it, even he sees what's going on. The lack of defensive rebounding at times is killing the Lakers, giving the other team second opportunities. And it's just they're playing like a bad team. It's just that simple.
They're not playing like a championship team, that's for sure.
Not even close.
And we're getting as usual. I mean, you got to give the Kings credit. I mean, I thought the Kings had lost in regulation. I thought they lost in the first overtime. I was sure they lost in the second overtime. And it wasn't until they had a 7-point lead on us in the third overtime that I finally said, you know what, we're going to lose this dang game. You know, it's just really, it's just so frustrating to think that I was sure we had hit rock bottom, but no. Rock bottom is losing a triple overtime game to the Kings. Where do you go from here is a long, slow grind. And my big concern is, what do we do with the lineup? The only silver lining I see in this entire situation is that Frank seems to be so set on the simple fact that he is not going to get beaten by a team because he's too small, you know, and he's going to put Jordan out there, and Bradley is what he thinks is his best guy at fighting over screens and funneling players into the center. How many block shots did he have tonight? Not very many, I'm sure. So you've got two guys that you're already crippling the start of the first and the third quarters, and you know, fortunately he doesn't play them down at the end of the games. It's sort of like the JaVale McGee situation last year. It's just maddening. And you know, so there's a big difference between whether you play guys against starters or whether you play them against reserves. And I can understand, for example, why he wants to keep Melo to come off of the bench, because Melo off of the bench is playing against the second team. And that's a big difference, you know, because you've got an experienced guy like that who's going to take advantage of whoever is the backup power forward on the other team. But at the same time, the way you start games and how you get out of the barn makes such a difference in how you finish the games that, you know, Frank has these rotations, and I don't think we've seen any rotations so far that are so important that you are going to compromise your starting lineup. That's the biggest concern I have at this point in time. You know, we're not putting a team in there that is our best team that we could put out there. And I can accept some things like Melo not coming out as a starter. But, you know, we're still too small. A lot of that is Palinka's blame. A lot of it is just the luck of who got injured on the team and the fact that, you know, had there been available 6-8 guys that would have fit Vogel's needs, I'm sure Palinka would have signed them, you know. But that's the size person that everybody in the league is looking for right now. Everybody needs that 6'8", 6'9 guy who can play good defense and shoot the three. You know, if you have that prototype, you're going to get a job somewhere. And unfortunately, we couldn't find enough of them. And the one that we did choose hasn't hit the court yet. So it's going to be a struggle. And if we were going to break out and suddenly show that we could win 8 of the next 10 games, for example, tonight was not evidence of that at all.
This is Raphael from NBA Draft Junkies.com. and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
If you have a better movie in the can, why is that not the movie that you released in the first place?
I would say it's more culturally relevant than The Simpsons and Rick and Morty. Like, it has become a staple of American entertainment.
I think Dragon Age 4 is carrying the future of BioWare on its shoulders.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Again, we'll stay at it. We're going to keep at it even more. Sunday brings a new game and a new opportunity. Hopefully in this game coming up that the Lakers will find a little bit more comfortable instead of having to come back from behind like they did on last week's game. And maybe LeBron will keep his closed fists in check. But we'll wait and see, because he also got a fine from the league for an obscene gesture that he made during the Indiana game after he made one of his shots. He was fined, I think, what, $15,000? Yeah, he was also told to keep on doing that because the league will get stronger and stronger against him. So even though that they did accommodate him for what was being said and those horrible things that were being said to him by those two fans, still his reciprocation later on after he hit a clutch shot, still I think the NBA said, you know what, we don't want any of that. So not good for LeBron either which way, playing 50 minutes and shooting 2 for 13 from the three-point area, settling, like you said, for a lot of jumpers, not taking inside. He did take it inside during the overtime, and it puzzles me that he didn't do that on the one of the last two plays of the game in the fourth quarter when he could have done that just as easily. So I'm not sure what's going through LeBron, what he's always in his mindset, because he's always looking.
He's not able to.
But then you say that, then he goes and drives in like two times in a row in the overtime. So it just, yeah, it's like.
You didn't see him explode to the basket.
No, you know? No. I mean, he got the foul. Difference. He got the basket. He got what he wanted when he wanted during that time.
Yeah, but still it was against the Kings, man, and against Alex Len, you know what I mean?
No, it was against Marvin Bagley.
Right. Bagley actually looked very serviceable player.
Yeah,
man.
Well, there was a reason why he's just coming back now, because he was on the bench for a long time, because he has 2+ years of playing at a subpar level.
Yeah, so. You know, and they're missing Harrison Barnes, who's Harrison Barnes, a player that a lot of Lakers
playing very good for them.
Would trade THT and Munn for in a snap. He's a veteran, 20 points per game scorer, good defender, smart player.
Need a little bit more of that on our team. But, my friend, it is, again, the Lakers falling in triple overtime, 141-137. If you have any thoughts on the game, please, you can go ahead and share it with us at Lakerholics.com or give us a holler. Give us a shout-out at LakerTom on Twitter, at LakersFastBreak on Twitter. Also, as well, LakersFastBreak@Yahoo.com. But my friend, if you want to go ahead and just let everybody know what you're up to for this weekend, are you writing another article or what's happening with you at Lakerholics.com?
I thought that I really liked the idea. I've always been a fan of LeBron playing the five. And I thought that our win the other night when we played almost the entire fourth quarter in overtime with LeBron playing the five with three. With Carmelo and three other shooters surrounding him is a dynamite lineup, and I really like the idea of doing that. And I started, you know, the minute then I started thinking about this whole thing, the more I started getting this vision of the Lakers with LeBron at the five playing the Warriors with Draymond at the five in the Western Conference Finals this year. And it's an interesting thing because generally what happens with almost every superstar in the league, especially small forwards and power forwards, is they, as their career gets older and they lose their mobility and their speed, then they move up one or two notches in the position. You know, the small forwards become, you know, the shooting guards become power forwards, you know, and small forwards become power forwards, and power forwards become stretch fives. And it just sort of came to me that watching LeBron and his predilection for shooting 3-point shots from outside and his ability and his low center of gravity of playing center, which could actually be less wear and tear on him than running around trying to guard guys at the three and the four, I sort of came to the conclusion that the inevitable ultimate position for LeBron James to finish his career with the Lakers is probably as a stretch five center. And I wrote an article on Medium that'll be out on Lakerholics tomorrow. So take a read and see if you enjoy that. It's thinking a little bit out of the box because I think it could even work when Anthony Davis was in the game. In other words, doing an inversion of Davis being the four and letting him stay the four and have LeBron play the five could be how the Lakers move forward at some point in time. I don't think it's going to be this year, but I think we're going to start to see more of LeBron at the five because it's a very lethal weapon for us to have in our offense.
And you can catch his latest article on that and the possibilities, which I wholeheartedly agree upon. I thought this was something that they should have experimented on a while back, and I'm glad to see that it came to fruition the other night in Indiana. Gesture and horrible fans aside, I'm glad to see that the LeBron at five at that time worked. Of course, you have AD here playing with him alongside tonight. That didn't seem to be the issue. To me, it just, again, just a myriad of small errors led up to one big thing as far as losing the lead. It wasn't any one thing you could target. You could target the lack of rebounding at times. You could target the lack of defense at times. You could target the lack of execution. You could target lack of ball movement. It seemed like there was an area for each of these mistakes to happen at various points in time in the fourth quarter and the triple overtime. So, you know what? You can't point to any one certain thing, the reason why the Lakers lost tonight, but still, it isn't a good sign for a team that is playing like a 10-11 team that they are right now. I mean, it's simply the ups and downs will continue as long as they continue playing like this, and we'll see what happens if they can get back to the 500 mark on Sunday. We'll see. We'll be here after the game coming up on Sunday against the Detroit Pistons at home at the soon-to-be renamed, but we'll call it now, the Staples Center. But we'll be here Sunday night talking to you about what went on during the game. And we're looking forward to hopefully hearing some good news about the Lakers then, but hoping you will have a great weekend as well. But thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening and watching. But we'll be back on Sunday after the Detroit game right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.